I'm back with Joe Waters today, who runs the Cause Marketing Program for Boston Medical Center. And today we're going to be delving a little bit deeper, talking about some of the tactics and implementation for getting your Cause Marketing Program going. Joe works for a nonprofit, so he has said himself that he's kind of, the way he thinks about it is from a business perspective, because of course he wants his programs and his idea is to work for these businesses, or else there's no partnership. And the audience for Cause Capitalism is mostly small businesses and entrepreneurs who are just getting things going. So as much as possible, I want to kind of frame it in context for the questions that I'm getting from them. Mm-hmm. Joe, thanks for coming back. And
my pleasure.
Something you mentioned last week, or last time we talked, was that you're not going to get rich off of Cause Marketing, and that Cause Marketing is not for everyone, and you need to know why you're in the game of it. So I'd love to have you start off with that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think when you look at corporate fundraising as a whole, it generally doesn't make up a big part of the pie for a lot of nonprofits. I mean, some time ago, and I don't know how relevant this is now, but I've seen that nonprofits raise about 5 to 15% of their funds from corporate fundraising. And this includes cause marketing. So when you think about that in the larger scheme of things in terms of where most nonprofits raise their money, that's not a big chunk of their dough that they're getting from companies and businesses. They're obviously getting most of their money from individuals and foundations. And, you know, that's where most people have to focus. It would be a very poor nonprofit that would just focus on cause marketing, with the notable exception being Product Red, of course, which is, only does really cause marketing. But it's interesting, too. I mean, the kind of the parent organization for Product Red is the Global Fund, which is a much bigger grant-receiving organization and actually has billions of dollars that it receives. But as a small organization, you really have to look at how much you can realistically raise with cause marketing. And even when we look at some of the bigger organizations here in the United States, like Komen's, which raises, I've seen estimates between $30 to $40 million, and it really depends whether you're adding their Race for the Cure money they get in the cause marketing dollars there. But $30 to $40 million from cause marketing, they still raise in total $400 million a year. So it is in line with the 10% estimate of getting 10% of their dollars from corporate partners. So if you're a small nonprofit with a $500,000 budget or $1 million budget, you know, maybe one day you could grow your program, your cause marketing program, that you would raise $50,000 to $100,000 a year. But it's never going to be a $1 million program.
And so what about for businesses? Is it the same for them? Can they get rich off of cause marketing? I mean, it's one part of hopefully their marketing and their, it ties into their revenue goals and the way that their business model is structured. But how viable is it? There's a lot of companies that are doing it. Is it getting diluted?
Well, I think it is one of the things that I think if we do look at cause marketing, I mean, you know, before cause marketing came on the scene, there was a lot of companies obviously getting rich off traditional marketing tactics, you know, and they did very well by them. And if cause marketing never came on the scene, or if cause marketing fell out of existence tomorrow, there would still be companies making money off of customers and traditional marketing models. That being said, though, cause marketing has shown that it's a potent part of the marketing mix. And, what I often argue with people is that, cause marketing is not the most important thing in the marketing mix, or not the only thing, but it is an important an additional thing that businesses should be focusing on, that every company should have cause marketing in their mix, and it can contribute to their bottom line, but it's not the only thing that's going to contribute to it.
So my next question was going to be, how do you know if cause marketing is right for you? But I tend to agree with what you just said, is that companies should have this as one of their tools, one of their techniques, integrated into other social programs. I kind of added that last part. So let's say that cause marketing done right is a given. A lot of questions that I get from people coming to me who are one or two person enterprises, and they say, I'm building out this website and I really believe in cause, and I see there's an issue that's important to me, or I see that this is a trend and I believe in the value behind it, not just that it's a trend. So, for example, one person I've been talking with, he said, I wanted to partner with Feeding America to give them a portion of sales from his website. And so off he went to talk to Feeding America and soon realized that they have a limit, a minimum of at least $100,000. So I've been talking to him about working with the small and regional and localized branches of not Feeding America, but other nonprofit organizations that deal with hunger.
Yep.
That's the right approach. And what other things can we talk to, can we give companies about what should they be looking for in a nonprofit to partner with? Because I think, and how do they make that approach?
You know, Olivia, first of all, I think you gave excellent advice on something like that too, because I think what customers respond to is when businesses have deep-seated values that they want to share with their customers. And customers are not so concerned about the organization that it is like Feeding America. And like you were saying about partnering with, a more local organization, what customers want to know is that you really care and that you want to share that with them and you want to invite them to participate in that. They're not so concerned that you're aligning yourself with a big brand. The only time that really helps is when that big brand is something that they recognize, so there's that double identification there for them, so that they know the value of helping someone's hungry and they know the organization that it's going to. But you can educate them about a local organization. But the thing that really shines through in any relationship is the sincere and authentic values that a retailer or store or what have you has about the cause that they really care about. And, you know, that's always kind of the first step that I advise in working with for-profits and working with causes, is they really have to find something that they care about. Don't start with a cause. Start with an issue. Start with something that you really care about, and then work your way to the cause, because that's what's really going to drive your interest in the cause marketing program. And that's what ultimately the consumers are going to see, your sincerity.
Mm-hmm. That's terrific. And when you say issue versus cause, how are you differentiating the two? You just give me an example.
I'm sorry, what did you say, Olivia?
How are you differentiating issue versus cause?
Issues versus cause. So if you're really concerned about the issue of childhood hunger, the cause between the cause of the nonprofit or the issue in the nonprofit, so that if you're really concerned about childhood hunger, it's, you know, you're gravitating towards something about Feeding America. So the important thing is that you really identify that you're really concerned about helping people with cancer, helping hungry people, helping save forests, you know what I mean, helping to save an endangered species or what have you, instead of identifying with a particular organization right away. Unless you have a deep-seated feeling, but, you know, some people come into it, Olivia, though, they have a very deep-seated feeling for an organization. And,
right.
The interesting thing is, too, is like some institutions have come to represent their causes. Like, for example, if you look at something like muscular dystrophy, it's hard to say muscular dystrophy without adding Muscular Dystrophy Association to it, because the MDA is so closely linked to that issue, that cause. But of course, we know that in certain issues and causes, we have lots of choices of nonprofits.
Okay. And so what does a small business or a lone entrepreneur need to bring with him or her to approach this nonprofit? Do they have to have an open mind beyond sincerity? Do they have to have a deck? Is it important to have some ideas about how, or is flexibility in getting that discussion going more important?
Yeah, you know, I think what's really important is I think that, you know, they have to have the sincerity about wanting to help the cause. That's that's one of the most important things. And, you know, the partners that we've had here, even at Boston Medical Center, Olivia, for years and years, they're the ones who really care about Boston Medical Center. And, you know, we have transactional partners, people that are with us for a couple years or several years, and then they move on to a different type of program. But the ones that really stick around for a long time are the ones that really care about Boston Medical Center and the ones that identify with our mission. But the other thing that I would really identify too is that they really have a lot of flexibility in dealing with nonprofits, because while a business person obviously has a business mindset, a lot of nonprofits don't have a business mindset. So you need to be flexible, and you also need to be patient about how you can work with a nonprofit in a really productive way. And then I would add to that, too, is as a business owner, and I actually just wrote about this in a post that I wrote for causeshift.com, is I really think it's really important for every business to identify some valuable asset that they are willing to allot to a nonprofit that that nonprofit can use to benefit its cause. You know, I gave the example in the post of Applebee's opening its restaurants extra early so that nonprofits could have fundraisers there and pancake breakfasts and stuff like that for people so that they could raise extra money for different causes and stuff like that. I mean, that's a real asset that Applebee's has, is all these stores they own, right? So every business has an asset, and they have to be willing to give some of that away or some of that up so that the nonprofit can benefit from it.
And you're talking, and when you say this, we're talking about assets that are not strictly financial.
That's right. You know, the financial assets are the easy ones. It's easy to write a check. You know, that's why, you know, even when it comes to, you know, the situation in Haiti, you know, all these companies pony up money, which is very important and very helpful, especially in the beginning of this terrible tragedy. But what companies need to do now is they need to take this extra step and start, you know, unlocking these assets that they have and letting people raise money around them. You know, like I said, it could be Starbucks and their coffee beans. It could be Applebee's and its stores. You know what I mean? It could be a variety of different things. It could, you know, I mentioned sports teams and their concessions that they have at their games. You know, there's a lot of different ways that people can unlock important things that could be very enticing to people to give and to give generously.
I'll put a link to that post on when I write up this post, because it was really excellent, so readers can take a look at that.
But,
do you have businesses coming to you? Most of the time you do the approaching businesses to create these partnerships. Do they ever come to you?
Yeah, we have some businesses. You know, what we have, especially around some of our events, I mean, one of the things that we really work around is, you know, some of the events that we do here in the city, like Halloween Town, which I had mentioned to you before, which is a major event that we do, you know, which last year had 15,000 people at it and, you know, had 39 corporate sponsors. You know, we have events like that that have a cause marketing component to it, where a lot of businesses are getting word that, you know, we have this big event, it has lots of moms and lots of kids at it, and, you know, they're interested in supporting the program, but also reaching out to that audience, because everyone wants to talk to moms with kids these days. And so people call us and say, hey, you know, for $3,000, for $5,000, for $8,000, can I set up a booth and be part of this event? So we do have more people reaching out to us.
When they come to you, or, you know, businesses who are going to nonprofits, is it important that they come with a menu of ideas, or is it really important? What's a nonprofit looking for? And let's say that this nonprofit has never been engaged in a corporate partnership or a cause marketing campaign before, so this is fresh to them. What do they need from this business?
Well, I think, you know, what they're really going to be looking on the business side, too, is especially a business, a nonprofit that's never done this before, is they're going to be expecting a lot of transparency from the company that they're working for. you know, in terms of like how it's going to work and how they're going to benefit from the promotion that the company may be doing with them, with their customers, or selling a particular product where a percentage would go back to them. So, you know, if, you know, what people have to remember too is a lot of these nonprofits obviously have a board of directors that they have to in turn explain and sell these programs to. And it's important that companies know that, you know, there's great accountability in nonprofits and that they just don't have to sell these programs to an executive director, that they really have to sell these to a whole board. So they have to be transparent and good programs. And, you know, they have to be programs too, and that the business person can, I think, especially with new nonprofits, execute and to a large extent by themselves. Because I think with nonprofits in terms of their staffing and how understaffed most nonprofits are, it can be very challenging to put too many expectations on the nonprofit to do much of the legwork or the lifting of the program. And you know, that's a real concern, is like, you know, okay, if you're going to do a point of sale program in 75 stores, who's going to get all the pinups to the stores? You know what I mean? Like, you know, how are you going to do that? And, you know, a lot of times for-profits will say, well, when they're done at the printers, instead of spending the money to ship them, why don't we have the nonprofit pick them up and then they can bring them to the stores? And the nonprofit may be like, well, there were only 3 people in my nonprofit, so that's really not feasible.
Right.
So, you know, you got to think about those things.
Yeah, that was my question about how, you know, who's taking on the impetus of developing the program and executing it. And, I mean, I guess it varies, but I think for a company to take a program to a nonprofit, they need to not only be ready to give some financial or otherwise assets, but to put in some time and to really lead it.
Yeah, and you know, I think it shows with us too, Olivia, which you know too, is I have a 5-person team here at Boston Medical Center, and we do everything from soup to nuts when we do a program with a corporate sponsor. All the corporate sponsor has to do is convince and motivate his register clerks to ask the question, would you like to donate a dollar to Boston Medical Center? That's the most important thing that those people have to do. The rest of the stuff, the design of the pinup, the getting it out to stores, the building of incentive package, any design work that may be involved in the program, any cross-promotion with other retailers, any event sponsorship that may need to be coordinated, we do all that work because that makes us a much more compelling partner for profit. Because if you go into a company and say, hey, I'm going to do a program for you that's going to be good for your company, and I'm going to do all the work, that's something that's of interest to them. Because most nonprofits aren't offering them that.
Right. And I think that for small businesses and sole entrepreneurs, it absolutely needs to be small and simple so that the project can be executed, because it's important to have successful program, not only to reinforce why you chose to go that direction in the first place, but to build that relationship with the nonprofit and to develop more complex programs down the line, then in which they share more of the responsibility for them.
Yeah. You know, I think that's really important. And I think to have a successful cause marketing program, the onus is on the nonprofit, not the for-profit. Because the nonprofit is the one who stands to benefit the most. Because the for-profit can have a program, and there's enough cause marketing programs out there that they will eventually be approached by a good for-profit to do that program. They don't have to go out there and shop around. Someone will be shopping them soon enough.
You wrote somewhere that you don't have to have the best program to raise money. So what components are necessary then to raise money if the program is just mediocre?
Well, you know what I think? What I think sometimes is like, even what you and I have talked about, Olivia, is that you and I have kind of talked about like the ideal. Like, you know, the ideal is that, you know, you work with a business partner and they really care and, you know, they get into this program and, you know, they come to, say, Boston Medical and they do a tour and they think everything's great and they get their employees here next time and, you know, they do those things and, you know, and that's wonderful and everything. But, you know, sometimes you you run across a corporate sponsor that just wants to do a simple transactional cause marketing program to do something in the community, to raise some money, perhaps in exchange for a sponsorship for an event that you have. And, you know, it works. And, you know, to be quite honest with you, Olivia, I've done many of those programs and have raised hundreds of thousands of dollars with those programs, with people that have said, you know, I'm happy to help Boston Medical Center, but this is probably just going to be a one-year program, and I'm going to do these things, I'm not going to do these things. But, and, you know, it's something that's very turnkey. But, you know, as long as you, in the case I have, where I do generally point-of-sale programs, as long as you have someone that is willing to get people at the register to ask customers if they want to donate a dollar, most customers are going to say yes. Now, if you have a company that's really committed, you're going to have a higher rate of return on that. But even if you don't, there's still going to be a good rate of return, that you're going to make good money on a program like that. Because at the end of the day, it's a numbers game. It's about how many stores and how many shoppers in those stores and how many people asking those shoppers to donate.
And is the point-of-sale program worthwhile technique if you just have one store?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, one of the things I'm going to write about next week is I'm actually posting on a good friend of mine who actually started the cause marketing program with me here in Boston, and she now works for a nonprofit in New York City, and she runs a annual bike ride there called Jake's Ride, and she worked on a cause marketing program with six gourmet supermarkets in New York City. One was in New Jersey, and she raised $1,000 per store and raised herself an extra $6,000 with the program. She also built herself a better relationship with a corporate sponsor, in this case the gourmet supermarket chain, and promoted her bike ride and got more recognition for it and branding out of it. And so it was really a win-win for her. So while she raised over $200,000 with the bike ride, and, you know, in that case, the $6,000 was just a small part of how much she raised, it was a worthwhile effort for her. And she realizes, too, like, hey, you know, I only had six stores, so I only raised $6,000, but if I had 60 stores, I'd raise $60,000, you know? And that's the metrics of something like this.
Mm-hmm. And in addition to the publicity and that relationship that she got from the partnership.
Yes, and you know, right. And you know what I think is really important with nonprofits, with runs and bikes and walks and stuff like that is, you know, the publicity you can get for your programs through these point of sale programs is really valuable because it lets people know what's happening, gives them a chance to participate and to donate to the cause. And I think I mentioned to you last time that even with our big event, Halloween Town, we've found that one in four people that come to Halloween Town come because of they heard it from a point of sale program.
Yeah, terrific. I just want to go back and quickly just kind of encapsulate the relationship between a new nonprofit and a new startup and how they can work together, because I think it's a little bit tricky, and I just want to make sure that I'm not sending mixed messages to the audience here. So let's say that this business goes approaches a nonprofit. We've realized that they need to keep it simple, that they need to understand, that the business needs to understand that a lot of the onus will fall on them the first time.
Right.
Some of the responsibility.
Right, and that's what that was also too, Olivia. The understanding too is the way you kind of talked about it was that they the business would be engaging the nonprofit and doing something with them. You know.
Right. So they can't just have this assumption that hey, because I want to go and give you money and give you maybe some other assets, this nonprofit's got to throw down their other priorities and you know pick up the flag, the banner of this. I mean, there has to be that understanding that it is a partnership, and I think. As you mentioned, the transparency and patience are very important.
Yes.
Quality. Okay, terrific. And last question, because I want to be observant of your time, is can you give us a couple of things of what companies should not do in cause marketing?
things companies should not do in cost marketing? Well, I think, you know, when we look at the things that companies shouldn't be doing in cost marketing is, first of all, I think that consumers are becoming a lot more savvy to cost marketing programs and expectations about what those programs should look like. And I think one of the things that is disheartening to consumers is when they pick up a product, and in this case this would be a percentage of sale program, and then they find out that, you know, they read the fine print on this program and they find out that, you know, a percentage of sales, you know, a portion of this donation, a portion of the proceeds will go to X cause. And, you know, then a lot of people are kind of like, well, how much? You know, and, you know, it drives people crazy, I think, for them to think, well, you know, how much is you know, is a dollar going? Is a nickel going? Is a penny going? And, you know, so I think people have to be very clear about how much is supporting the cause. I think that's really important with these programs, is that, you know, people have a lot of transparency with the programs and that they are absolutely clear with people. And, you know, Olivia, too, most of the criticism around cost marketing focuses on this, too, is that people are just not clear enough about where the money is going and how much. And that's something I think we need to address in cost marketing, which is really important.
And companies can do that by being clear in their messaging and often by choosing causes and nonprofits that are familiar to us. But as you mentioned, when we're starting out, they can also educate their consumers with clarity about smaller or local nonprofits. So there's opportunity for both, but they need to think about their messaging.
Yes, and, you know, they working with credible nonprofits is really important. And then you just put it right on the, you know, you put it on right on the package. Like, you know, 20 cents of every product sold, you know, will go to the American Red Cross. And then people know just how much is going there. And, you know, and the problem is they see this type of language and then they hear after the fact is like, you know, that, you know, that only 2% of all monies raised, you know, went back to the cause or something like that. So, you know, it really puts a cloud over whether or not they'll really go out and buy, make these type of cause purchases again.
One product someone told me about was a Coach handbag or something that 5% of this several hundred dollar handbag was going to the Coach Foundation. So it was basically, I mean, it was going back into the business, and sure, it was probably, you know, legally it had to be a charity foundation,
right.
But it was just had no idea what this Coach Foundation is. It was 100%. It was ridiculous.
Right. You know, yeah. And it's like you say, too, what's the Coach Foundation, you know?
Right. Quickly, you and I both wrote posts about cause marketing in regards Haiti relief and whether or not it's appropriate. What are your takes on that?
Well, you know, I think that you know, cause marketing is something that, you know, there were actually some great comments on my post about whether or not you could really do it, and, you know, and it was funny because after I wrote my post, my wife said, there's no way you can do that, you can't do cause marketing around it, and just about everyone who wrote after that agreed with my wife, to my chagrin. Looking over my remarks and stuff like that, I do think you could do some cause marketing around Haiti. And remember, when I define cause marketing, I'm defining it as you know, point of sale, percentage of sale, and licensing. I do think you can do these types of programs. I do think it requires a serious upfront commitment, a donation that, you know, that you could offer to Haiti to show the American public that you are indeed a great supporter of the country and the cause. And, you know, then I think it would be a matter of tapping those assets I spoke of earlier so that people would see that, you know, you too are again kind of contributing to this process. And, you know, someone on my blog actually made the comment that a better idea would be for Starbucks to donate their ground coffee for a couple hours one day or a couple days or something like that, and 100% of the proceeds going to Haiti. And, you know, that's good because they're taking a great asset and they're basically putting it in the hands of the consumers and saying, hey, if you want to buy this, we're going to give all the money to Haiti. And I think that sends out a great message on something like that. But, you know, we really haven't seen too many cause marketing programs yet.
So I want to thank you for your time. I'm getting addicted to these conversations now. I really enjoy speaking with you, and I know that we'll have you on again to talk about a couple more elements, including social media and cause marketing.
Yeah, happy to be here.
For more interviews about cause capitalism, visit causecapitalism.com.